All right, time to look through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Truett and White, the professional builder's choice, and of course Marvin Windows and Doors. And Bruce Jenkins joins us of the Chronicle. Bruce, happy Saturday to you.
See you, Marty. How are you?
Good, good. I had a nice vacation. I actually had a vacation.
Well, that's excellent. You deserve it.
I was impressed. I actually was off the grid for 3 days without.
What'd you do with yourself?
Well, I was at Tassajara down in Carmel Valley, and it's a Zen Buddhist kind of retreat, but open to the public. They do that during the summer, so, you know, it's a little rustic, you know, no color TV, no air conditioning. But
did you chat up a few squirrels about the Giants? Or?
Absolutely. You know, there were raccoons all over the place, so. But it was fun. They ring a gong and everyone comes to eat. I like that. So that was
Wow. Good.
Pretty good.
That's a real break.
Yeah, it was. It was. Then I spent 2 days at Cordoval. Have you ever been down to Cordoval, Bruce?
I have not.
It's a great resort, golf, tennis, Rosewood Hotel between Morgan Hill and Gilroy. And they have the Women's Open there next year, U.S. Women's Golf Open there next year. So
check it out.
Yeah, big deal. So that was nice. So I had a nice week, but I thought of you. I said, if you can tell me about the All-Star game and how it all came off, the Home Run Derby, I said, Bruce can fill me in, so please do.
Well, the Home Run Derby was sensational. I mean, you know, the format with the clock sped things up. It gave it a real urgency to it. You know, the right guys were doing the right things. Jock Peterson was fantastic. And, you know, Frazier, the hometown guy, the crowd's going completely nuts. You know, it felt like the World Series or something, and he pulls it out.
Really?
It was just great. I mean, it really revived an event that was kind of on its last legs, I thought. And I didn't see all of it. I was down in Las Vegas for Summer League. But it was, without a doubt, I haven't seen one negative review on how that all unfolded.
Sounds like it was the old Home Run Derby. Remember at Wrigley Field in Los Angeles, the two would go at it, Killebrew and Banks and all that? It sounded like it was more of a head-to-head deal than trying to figure out what round you're in and how many you hit and all that stuff.
Yeah, it was executed really well. You know, the game itself was, you know, to me always interesting. You know, too many pitchers use it. You know, to think it's a real game and to mean anything, as somebody pointed out, it can't mean that much if Mike Trout comes out for Brock Holt. You know.
Very good.
Which sums it up really well as to the stupidity of having it tied into the World Series. But, you know, it was not a great night for the Giants. They were pretty quiet. Bumgarner did okay. And, you know, I guess the Giants fans enjoyed seeing the Dodger pitchers get lit up a little bit. But, you know, good moments, some good matchups, and a nice Tuesday night.
I got to watch the beginning of it this morning on YouTube or one of the services where they have the things recorded. And I got to watch the presentation of the four greatest players.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Bench, Koufax, Aaron, and Willie Mays. Willie looked terrific. I was just so glad to see him. But that was a good moment. There was about 6 minutes on YouTube or something. I got to watch the whole thing. I thought it was terrific.
Yeah, that was really good. And, you know, for me as a kid who grew up watching the Dodgers, you know, seeing Koufax, he doesn't do a lot of, you know, very public things. And you know, he looks great as well. And, you know, to look at the man, you know, he's not a massively built guy, but he's probably the most awesome power pitcher that's ever lived. And but that was great, you know, Bench and the whole pregame was nice. Pete Rose got a very nice ovation, which kind of hopefully overshadowed his actual speaking parts on the pregame. I mean, he's so raw, you know. He's just to me, every time he speaks these days, he sets his cause back, you know. but just you know, those fans remember him as a player, and they gave him his due and then some.
Yeah, I caught a couple of glimpses of him. He still looked like Phil Hartman on Saturday Night Live as Frankenstein. He still had a
look. You can't have hair that black, especially at his age. That's just embarrassing.
I know. It looked a little bit like that. All right, well, that's the All-Star Games behind us, Bruce. And I've had Bobby Evans on today and a number of people, and we talk about these next couple of weeks. And you did the three-dot lounge. We'll talk about the West in a minute. But, boy, there are a number of teams that are still in this thing and the second wild card. And now for the next 2 weeks, and Bobby Evans said it is a day-to-day deal to see what happens. This is very interesting to me.
Yeah, and the Giants have to play at least 600 ball here, finishing off Arizona, winning at least two of those. They go down to play the Padres. They could, as well as they play down there, they really ought to sweep that series. Then they get the A's. You know, they haven't been doing so great at home. And Milwaukee, and then Texas and Atlanta. I mean, this is absolutely the time to get back into a tie with the Dodgers if they possibly can, because, you know, after that, as we've said, August looks brutal. A lot of Cubs, a lot of Washington, Cardinals, Pirates, and then more Cubs and Cardinals, and then the Dodgers, and that's a brutal month. So this is, right now is when they have to pick it up and get even with the Dodgers so it doesn't get away from them.
Did you get to see the game last night?
The Giants?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hunter Pence is starting to look like Lou Gehrig to me. I mean, really.
God,
he's incredible, isn't he?
Yeah, he's just crushing the ball to the right side, which is so inspiring, and, you know, it's topped off by the home run, but... You know, we knew that his return to the lineup was going to be huge, and he's come out of the gate just completely on fire, both on his first night back and then the first night out of the break, which I'm sure was a great thing for him too. So, what a blessing that is!
Yeah, boy, what a hitter! I mean, you know, yeah. he's gotten better. You know, this was not the hitter a couple of years ago. This guy now, you make a mistake or even get it over the plate, and he's going to crush it.
Yeah, and it's great because you can't work him inside because he'll dead pull you crazy. He goes to all fields so impressively, and you know if he doesn't get it and hits little chopper, he's likely to beat it out. So
right.
He's just he's the king of the infield hit as well. So
yeah.
it's great guy to watch.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think he probably had as many infield hits as Nellie Fox or someone like.
Yeah.
Here we go. All right, but you know. I talked to Bobby Evans, and, you know, it's hard for him to really say what he's thinking because it's hard. You know, you have to keep your cards close to the vest. But Kane and Peavy, Hudson, you've got to be looking at these guys very carefully over the next two starts because mm-hmm. you get past the 31st, and you're not getting Yovani Gallardo through waivers. You're not getting Kazmir through waivers. You're not getting Leake through waivers. It's not going to happen. They have their hands full in assessing these guys over the next couple of weeks. Because, Bruce, if the roof falls in on August 20th, you're done.
Yeah, I mean, that was a very discouraging outing, I thought, from Kane. He didn't have consistency with any of his pitches. He threw some fastballs that were crushed. He threw some breaking balls that hung and were crushed. There were some outs that were crushed. He did have some good moments. But the inconsistency is troubling, I think. And I don't know. I was just picturing Brian Sabian at home watching that and thinking, you know, this could be – if this is a pattern and it continues through Hudson and Peavy, these guys have a lot of miles on them, and they haven't been healthy altogether in recent years. And, you know, it might be time to make a big move. And, you know, not for a rental guy, but a pitcher you can get that'll stick around for two or three years.
Yeah, this whole pitching staff has taken about a month too long to figure it out. If they were doing this in June, then you'd have plenty of time. But to start doing it in July, it really puts you up against the alarm clock. That's going to go off the 31st. I think it's going to be fascinating to see what he does. I get the feeling they're going to make a trade. I think they see it what we see. I mean, and they know that they've got to get at least one in there. At least one.
Yeah. Who they give up, I'm not sure. I mean, Adam Duvall is just crushing the ball in Sacramento. I mean, really just going off down there over there. And, you know, Crick is a guy with a lot of talent. They're a little bit down on him right now. He doesn't have as good control, but maybe those are just two guys that might be available. But whether that lands you a big name starter, I don't know. You'd have to throw in more than that. But
yeah, it's worth it.
They've got some pieces they can deal with.
Yeah, it's worth it. It's because you could get new guys for the minor leagues. Because
exactly.
You know, you can't always get new guys in the big leagues.
Right.
But you could get new guys in the minor leagues because you draft 50 of them every year.
Yeah, a temporary shortage is nothing to worry about, especially if you draft well. And the Giants, as we know, have drafted very well.
Yeah, I like it. All right, the 3-Dot Lounge today. You did a good analysis of the National League West. You want to share some of that with us, starting with the Diamondbacks?
Just in terms of you know, I think every team likes to have an identity.
Yeah,
something that the fans can plug into. The Giants are the ultimate in terms of. You know, we know who these guys are. We've been familiar with them. They've won. We know their personalities. We've seen them in commercials. We know these guys. They're the giant. They're the fan bases guys. They're our guys, as we say. The Diamondbacks. haven't had an identity for quite some time. They're throwing pieces together out there. It's an okay team. It's pretty dangerous in parts, but to me there's nothing scary about them at all. The Dodgers' identity is all about big money. You know, they spend like crazy. They have radical transition. They bring guys in and out. They're looking for the combination. And they're very envious of the Giants' way, but they can't. They're just not in a position to do that. At least not now. If they hold on to Corey Seager and Julio Urias and some of their other prospects, maybe they can build a young team that stays together. But it doesn't seem like that's going to be the way to do it. And who knows? Maybe it works for them this year. And then, you know, of course, you know, Colorado to me is just the eternal Troy Tulowitzki question. I mean, I really like to see him move on. I like to see him move right now because he looks pretty good. He's healthy. He's making great defensive plays. He's hitting about 315 or something. And I just like to see him in a new setting. And I think deep down he would like it too. I just think they need to move on from that whole the contract has really been a crippling thing for them, and the Carlos Gonzalez contract. They're both signed up till like the next century for $160 trillion. And then San Diego, and you called this right away, way back in April, they brought in 5-6 big names, but they're not a team. Right. They don't play defense. They're not cohesive. They haven't really hit or pitched as well as they thought. They are on a little bit of a tear right now. But, you know, they played the Rockies last night, whatever. But that team, the A.J. Preller experiment, if you could call it that, or the bold moves that he's made, they definitely haven't paid off. It doesn't look like they're going to. And the worst of it is they've given up an awful lot of people who are very good players. Some of them are in the bigs right now, like Grandal and Jesse Hahn, and when he gets healthy. But they've got some kids they've given up who are really, really good. They're in their futures game. They're showing off their talents. And meanwhile, San Diego's struggling 8-9 games back or whatever.
Yeah, boy, good assessment of that. I laughed last week when you were on with Patrick and myself about Puig being traded. I said, no way, I'll give dinner wherever you want. But I'll tell you something, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they will move Puig. Bruce, I tell you what gets me about these couple of weeks. The Giants have shown the blueprint to baseball, and baseball follows each other. When you do something successful, everyone wants to do it. Giants did it with great defense and two or three good, really solid starting pitchers, and then some good hitting. And if these teams think they can win, they've got to have that. That's why these pieces are very important. And maybe the Dodgers, said, look, Puig's got to go, and we're bringing Cole Hamels in. And we'll play a kid in. We'll play Turner in right field. That'll be good enough. I don't know. Maybe Puig will go.
Yeah, it's who knows? It's certainly possible. And then, Crawford will come back in the outfield, and they've got Van Slyke. And like you say, they can play Turner out there. I'm not sure what's happening with Guerrero, but they wouldn't be at a total loss without Puig, especially given the fact that he plays a very erect right field. He's not, Roberto Clemente out there, where every play is a textbook. You know, he flies off the rail sometimes. And from what I gather, I don't think the Mattingly or the team would be terribly crushed if he moved on. If it meant getting a really good pitcher, because that could make the big difference. And I think if they did get somebody like Hamels, they could win it even if Puig was gone.
All right.
At least win the West.
Yeah, I'm going to change the bet to a lunch as opposed to a dinner. I'm getting a little nervous.
It's going to wind up being a donut, I think.
No, it could. Who knows? But you know what I mean? The Giants have the blueprint.
Absolutely.
You look at the Mets. The Mets have great pitching, but they realize they need better hitting. And not a ton of hitting, but just some better hitting. And they may be able to get it done. The Pirates are another team. They don't have much power right now. Maybe they need one guy who can hit the ball out of the park a little bit. I'm telling you, this year I find extremely interesting because every team that's going to get in is going to be a good team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just the whole thing with the Cubs and the Pirates. I just really like watching both of those teams. They're just really entertaining. They play the game hard. They've got good young players, and they're very, very dangerous. They strike me as infinitely more dangerous than the teams in the West the Giants are facing outside of the Dodgers. And that's what it's going to come down to. If the Giants are going to try to get in as a wild card, these are the teams they're going to have to deal with.
Yeah, and the Cardinals, it's hard for me to really assess them right now. I know Holiday is back, and they lost a couple of games. Rosenthal even gave up another run last night. Maybe he's hit a little bit of a wall here, but Are the Cardinals that good? Are they that good?
You know, I don't see them as being that good, but I think they're going to win that division. They're relentless. They're not great, but they're very good, and they've got some guys that are, you know, some of the real mainstays, led by Yadier Molina. Who was it that said the other day that if he was going to start a team, he'd pick Yadier Molina? This is not a young guy, but that just goes to show you what kind of a presence he is. I think it was Bryce Harper who said
really?
That.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, they play smart, they pitch, they have great situational hitting.
Yeah.
And they survived. They've survived a lot of things this year. I think they're going to win that division, although, you know, Pittsburgh's going to give them a run for sure.
And Johnny Peralta's playing out of his mind, too.
Yeah,
he's got
yeah.
a lot of
and
big
Colton
hits.
And Colton Wong's a great second baseman, yeah. and they'll get you in a lot of ways.
Good. Carpenter. I'm telling you, Bruce, August is going to be great because we see a lot of the Cardinals and the Cubs and the Pirates. So it's going to be fun for us. But
August will be sensational.
You got to win in the West. You got the whole month of September, and you better win in the West. And as you say, play 600 right now. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow we'll talk about the A's. The A's are coming in next Friday, and that's always always fun.
That'll be interesting. Well, they're not a great start there, but you know, they're coming up on a real crucial stage in terms of Billy Beane's, you know, the way he's going to operate that team in the next few months. So we'll see. By the time they get to AT&T, we'll have a better line on them and where that all is going to go.
Yeah, we got to see Mike Gallego, one of the best third base coaches in the business. A riot, isn't he?
I don't know. Is he?
Yes, he is.
He's pretty good. Yeah,
he's terrific.
I'm spoiled by Tim Flannery, but yeah, because I remember Gallego made a big mistake that he completely copped to, and I'm thinking, geez, when's the last time you heard about that? You know, he's a really smart guy, and as we've said many times, one of the great defensive middle infielders you're ever going to see.
And great Steinbrenner, great Steinbrenner stories. That's the best part with him. Just say, you ever play with George, play, you know, on a team that's owned by George Steinbrenner, and then sit back for about a half hour. That'd be good. All right. Hey, a pleasure having you on. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, look forward to it. Thanks, Marty.
Thanks, Bruce. Okay, more coming up on KBR 680, the Sports Leader.